In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Garrison Keillor broadcast his Prairie Home Companion on the radio for several decades. I've mentioned him in sermons before. The centerpiece of the program was his news from Lake Wobegon, which could sometimes be like a sermon. It was like a sermon in that it told a human interest story that usually got our attention and made a good point, but unlike a sermon, he couldn't pull out all the analogies and implications the way a real sermon would. In the sermon today, I'd like to paraphrase one of his monologues and then add some of my commentary. I hope that's especially appropriate for this last Sunday of the church year and the lessons we just heard. The story. Grace Tollefson was a quiet girl from a respectable Lake Wobegon family. So it surprised everyone when right after high school, she married Alex Campbell. Alex told bad jokes, had a sports car, always had a bottle of whiskey in the back seat. Her parents and the community didn't approve of him, but Grace married him anyway. Grace and Alex moved out of Lake Wobegon very quickly, had three children in succession, Earl, Mars, and the youngest, Walter. Well, when Walter was just a few years old, Grace and Alex's marriage dissolved because of Alex's bad habits. Grace and the children had to move back to Lake Wobegon. Her brother found a little place where she could live. The ladies from the church brought her some secondhand furniture. Everyone in town was condescendingly nice to Grace and her children. Grace always felt as if the people of the town were looking at her and thinking, "We told you so. We were right. Look what you've done to yourself." It wasn't pleasant and it wasn't easy, but Grace and the children struggled and endured. When Grace was feeling particularly good, or when she was feeling particularly bad, she would say to the children, "What are we going to do when our ship comes in?" And then she and the children would fantasize about buying ponies and dollhouses and things like that. One day, Grace received a letter, a manila envelope, from a man in Philadelphia named D.R. McKay. He was asking her some questions about her family history. Grace wasn't really sure whether she should answer them or not, but she did. Short time after that, Grace received another manila envelope from Mr. McKay in Philadelphia. It said that he believed that Grace and her children were descendants of the Scottish royal family, and that, in fact, they were heirs to the throne. Well, Grace was skeptical, but she shared that with the children, but strictly told them not to tell anyone. Well, over the years, periodically, more manila envelopes would come from Mr. McKay, providing more and more evidence that Grace and her children really were the Scottish royal family. And he told them that there were movements afoot to restore the royal family in Scotland, and that at just about any time, they could expect to be coronated. Gave them hopes and dreams. It gave them a sense of dignity and purpose to think that they were royalty. And when they talked among themselves, they agreed that they would be honest, noble, admirable royalty. Wouldn't that be something? After a time, the condescending attitude of the people of Lake Wobegon got to be too much for Grace, and she moved her family to St. Paul. Earl and Merle's grew up, got married, moved out, did very well for themselves. Walter attended a local college and continued to live at home. One day, Alex called Walter and he said, "Alex, I need to tell you that I'm in trouble. I've been convicted of a crime and I'm supposed to go to jail and I'm much too old for prison. I need to leave the country. I want you to send me $5,000. So Alex said to his father, "What crime did you commit?" And he said, "It was a genealogy scam. Nobody got hurt. I just told people what they wanted to hear." Walter knew then what his father had done. And he said, "How? How could you do that to us?" And Alex said, "I knew the Tolosons, I knew the people of Lake Wobegon, I knew that they would all pity you, and I wanted you to grow up thinking something good about yourself. I wanted you to grow up with a sense of dignity." Walter said he would send his father what money he could. Grace knew that Alex had contacted Walter, and she said, "Did you tell him that we're royalty?" And Walter said, no, there'll be plenty of time for that later. And then Grace said, "Oh, Walter, you know, you are so good to me. You are so strong. You're a prince, you know. You can put a crown on a dog and call that dog a prince, but you are a real prince through and through. The world might not know it now, but next year, we're going to be in Edinburgh, and the bands are going to be playing, and the crowds are going to be cheering." My commentary. We, you and I, are royalty, and it's no hoax. All we who are baptized into Christ Jesus are his brothers and sisters. We are family of the one true King. The world doesn't see us that way. The world may be mean and insensitive to us. They might disrespect us and talk down to us. They may treat us badly. But we are princes and princesses in the kingdom of God. Our lives here look dim sometimes. We find ourselves struggling to make it through different unpleasant circumstances. But we have an enduring hope, and it is not a false hope. When our lives are through, whether we die or whether Jesus comes again, we will be in paradise. Our existence will be pure bliss. We will have the beatific vision. With a future like that guaranteed, we are free to live nobly in this world. We can be kind, honest, generous, admirable royalty. Perhaps most impressive about Walter is that even when he was shocked by his father's dishonesty and how he had misled the family, Walter did not strike back in anger. Would any of us have blamed him if we have? We do that all the time. We get angry and strike back over big things and little things alike. But instead, Walter, who grew up believing he would be a king someday, demonstrated the kingly virtue of mercy. Like a true king, he was merciful. Isn't that how Christ, our King, shows us his glory today? Rather than zapping us with thunderbolts the moment we sin, Christ shows patience and gives us time to repent and be forgiven. That's how he shows his power and might in mercy. Jesus delays his return to earth, not because he's old and slow, but because he wants to give all people more time to turn to him in faith and be saved. How do we know if we have saving faith? In the illustration Jesus used, the sheep on his right hand didn't know that they were faithful. Jesus recounts all the good things that they did, good deeds that grew out of their faith, like feeding the hungry, and the sheep didn't know that they were actually doing them for Christ. Likewise, those who were not faithful and neglected the needy did not realize that they were disrespecting Christ. How awesome it is to think that Christ is here among us in our neighbors, especially the poor and needy. The downcast and the outcast people of this world are the real royalty, and we should be serving them. To know Christ is among the hurting is especially good news to us when we are hurting. We know that Christ knows our pain. He suffered as much as we do and even more. In our lives, at different times, and sometimes even at the same time, we both get to minister to others in Christ's name, and we get to receive the ministry of others in Christian love, just as Christ once suffered, and now he relieves our suffering. In life, we both get to give and receive mercy, and in the end, it's all God's grace. That's the mystery of God's fatherly, kingly love for us. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.